Good morning, everyone. So today I'm going to be presenting What Would Your Journal Say If It Could Talk Back, using journals as a technique for interactive exchange between participant and facilitator in group-level adolescent HIV-STD prevention programs. I do not have any disclosures for this presentation. Okay, before I start talking about journaling, I wanted to give you a little bit of context about our adolescent HIV-STD prevention programs. So all of our interventions were developed, implemented, and evaluated for at-risk adolescents of color aged 14 through 17 years. All of our programs met once a week for approximately 3 hours each week, and they lasted for about 14 weeks. All of our programs were typically co-facilitated by a male and female facilitator, and over the past 10 years, we have intervened with over 700 youth. All of our programs covered a wide variety of topics, and these topics include values, healthy relationships, sexual anatomy, HIV and STDs, forms of protection, gender norms, drug use and sexual risk, communication skills, peer, and all of them had a peer educator internship component in some way. As we were going through our interventions, we realized we were facing many challenges with the group-level interventions. Our average group size was about 20 to 25 adolescents, so you can imagine that's a big group of teenagers. And we were really having a hard time being able to tailor our interventions to individual needs. So it was really hard, depending on where the risk level of each teen was at, how we were going to meet all of their individual needs. We really had a hard time knowing if participants understood the content that we were presenting to them. We also had a hard time knowing if participants were personalizing the messages. And also, one of the biggest concerns we had, we just did not have enough time to answer all of our participants' questions. So as you can imagine, with the subject matter, it brings up a lot of questions, and we just didn't have the time to answer them all in the group. So what exactly is journaling in our programs? So journaling basically occurred at the last 5 to 10 minutes of each training session. And each participant was given a small notebook to write in that they kept for the completion of the program. Each week, we asked them a specific question and also invited the participants to discuss anything else that was on their minds or ask us any other additional questions. We designed a question that was specific to each topic each week. The journals were collected at the end of the session once the participants were finished writing. And then the facilitators would sit down and read each participant's journal and respond. So we would actually write responses in the journals to each participant. Once we finished reading them, we would actually meet together and discuss any themes that came up in the journals, and then we would actually use these themes for the following week. So the first 5 to 10 minutes of the following week's sessions, we would refocus, and we would actually use that to bridge a conversation from the previous week. So as we were doing this, we realized journaling had many advantages, and one of the first advantages was being able to personalize the message. So each week, we tried to design our questions to help the teens personalize when they were writing the responses. So here what you see is a sample question that we would use for the topic of HIV and STDs, and this is also an excerpt from one of our participant journals. Another advantage that we had was being able to check the comprehension of the material. Basically, as we would review the journals, we would be able to see what percentage of the participants seemed to understand the topic. So were 75% of them getting it? Were they totally off and we had to totally go back to that topic? Or did they understand it? So here's another excerpt from a participant journal which shows us that they understood the topic of I statements in our communication session. Another advantage was it was very revealing for things along the lines of group dynamics. So again, we did invite our participants to talk about a lot of issues that came up during the sessions. And a lot of times they would tell us, if you could see by this one quote, this one young lady was telling us, please do not sit me next to this one participant. She was just having sort of an interpersonal issue with him. So we learned that through reading her journals. Some of these issues we knew about ahead of time, but some of them we didn't. And in this case, I did not know she was having an issue with this boy. Another advantage was one of the biggest ones that I was happy with was I was able to answer all of our participants' questions. So again, we did invite our participants and tell them that this is a place that they could ask any questions that either we did not have time to answer in the group or that they just were not comfortable. Sometimes, especially in adolescents, they are not comfortable asking certain questions. They're scared that the other teens are going to laugh at them or they think it's a dumb question. So we told them that they can use a journal for that use. A lot of times they would ask us questions about past behavior and current risks. So, you know, if we were talking about HIV testing or how you catch an STD, a lot of times we get those questions. Well, I did this. Should I get tested? And you kind of see that fear come out in their questions. And then, again, they were very comfortable with us in the group over 14 weeks, so sometimes we would get questions on topics that had nothing to do with our interventions. One of the most popular ones, especially with at-risk youth in the Bronx, was where they could find a job. So, like, can you help us find a job, or where can I get employment at this young age? And, again, it wasn't part of our topics, but we were able to still direct them to the resources that they needed. And, again, another pro to this was it served as a record of myths that were occurring in the groups. So if we noticed that we were getting a lot of questions on a certain topic, we actually just went ahead and added that to our curriculum because we noticed that this is coming up a lot in our groups, and I think we just need to cover this. So this is another excerpt of a question below where it shows somebody asking us a question. Another advantage that I've already sort of talked about was we were able to use this to review and refocus. So again, we would take the first 5 to 10 minutes of the next session to refocus what we did in the previous weeks. And a lot of times we would use what came up in the journals to shape this. So again, like for example, one of the biggest themes we see come up after one of the healthy relationship sessions is trust and partners saying that, like, well, I trust my partner and I'm not using protection because I trust him or her. And what we would basically do the next week is say, you know what, we really enjoyed reading everybody's journals, and we noticed that a lot of you guys wrote that you do not use protections if you trust your partner. What's going on with this? Can you guys tell us a little bit more about what's going on with this, why this is going on? So we can actually use that as a bridge for a conversation, which works really great. Another advantage is just with a large group, we were able to hear the voices of less vocal participants. Anytime you're working with a large group, we all know we have participants who talk a lot and some who do not speak in the group at all. And a lot of times we would hear the voices of these participants in the journals. They would answer the questions, they would talk, they would say what was on their minds. Again, we would always still have the participants who didn't talk and didn't write, but again, we would still hear a great number of the quieter teens. Another advantage was we were able to use this to address unsafe behavior. So basically, if a participant wrote about an activity that was unsafe, we can kind of use that to bridge the conversation. Like, have you thought about this topic? What's going on here? Have you realized this isn't safe? So here, basically, what you see is an excerpt from a participant journal, and this is actually how one of the facilitators responded in the journals. I'll just give you guys a couple seconds to look at that. Okay, so with all the advantages, we did still have several concerns about using journals, and one of the main ones was ethical concerns. So how now we have a written record of participants' sexual behavior and responses, how do we ensure confidentiality? So what we would do is we actually did not let our participants keep the journals at the end of the program. We kept them, and we keep them in a locked filing cabinet in our office. Our concern was that if it got into the wrong hands, let's say if they took it to school or they took it home and they didn't want their parents to know about some sort of behavior they were participating in, we were concerned for that would get out. Another concern that we have is the facilitators who are running the groups being able to know how to respond appropriately and know when to report or address issues. So again, with any of these groups, kids or teenagers are going to bring up topics that might report need further intervention or a more response than a group level response. And again, you just really need to know when is it appropriate to just respond in the journals and ask question, or when this participant really needs to be pulled aside and spoken to individually. Sometimes we would even do quicker intervention because there was a week lag between our programs. And basically, if something came up that was, let's say we read the journals at night and it was wrote something that required immediate intervention that we didn't want to wait, we would actually contact the participant by phone and just to check in, touch base, and see what was going on. That didn't happen at all, but we were prepared for that situation just in case. Another concern that we had was logistical concerns. So all of our participants had at least a fifth grade reading level and writing level. But again, if you have an intervention where your participants cannot read or write, this might not be the appropriate technique. We did at times have participants who did not respond to the journal questions or who did not respond, like we would get blank pages in the journals. And what we would simply do in the journal is write. We wouldn't force them, but we would just write something like, you know, I noticed you didn't write anything today. You know, we would love to hear your thoughts. Please try to take some time out and write something because your thoughts are important to us. And a lot of times the next week, we would get something from the participant. It might not be much. It might be one or two sentences. And we do understand that not everybody likes to write, but we would like just to try to encourage them. If we continue to get a blank page, which we never happen, we would just basically, I would pull the participant aside and say, you know, I notice you're not writing in your journals. What's going on? To just try to figure out if maybe this participant does have a reading or writing problem, to not make them feel uncomfortable. But it did not happen in our groups. In conclusion, we found journaling to be a very useful tool in our interventions. Unfortunately, even though our programs were evaluated through randomized controlled trials, we did not actually evaluate the technique of journaling. So we definitely should, I would say, try to research the effectiveness of journaling as a technique itself. And then another thing, journaling, we did this with at-risk youth in the Bronx aged 14 through 17 years old, but this can actually, and with HIV-STD prevention, but this may be a technique that's applicable to other health interventions and other age groups. Right now, in the moment, I've spent the past 10 years working with the 14 to 17-year-olds population, and over the past year, we've been adapting our curriculum to work with 12 to 14-year-olds, and we are also adapting our journaling technique, and it's been working very well with that age group also. So thank you, and I just want to say a special thanks to our principal investigator on all of our grants, Lori J. Bauman, also our funders, NIMH, NICHD, and NIDA, and our other program facilitators. And if you guys have any questions, or if you need any suggestions for sample journaling questions, if you would like to use this as a technique in your groups, please feel free to contact me. Here is my contact information. Thank you.